The observant among you might notice that I'm not Pastor Wayne, that it says that Wayne is giving the sermon this morning, but he is not with us today. Like Jesus, he was called to come to be with family and friends of someone who was dying. So he is visiting in Boston this weekend with a close family friend who is a friend of his daughter's who is in her last days. So prayers for him this morning as we gather together and remember those who have gone on before us. He gave me his sermon that he wrote to share with you this morning. He didn't leave me high and dry. So I will be sharing with you from the sermon, but I'll also be adding some of my own thoughts and commentary along the way. So consider this a partnership between me and Wayne this morning. We have all seen signs on city streets or ads in the paper for mediums, those who claim to have powers to communicate with those who have passed on from this life and into the life beyond. Who of us have not wished that we could do so? Ask questions of those loved ones that we wish we could have asked while they were still with us. Or the strong desire to just sit down and have a casual conversation over a cup of coffee. How we wish sometimes we could have that kind of clear communication with the dead. But we don't believe in that. Our ancestors don't speak to us in that way, regardless of how many mediums we consult or cards we read. We may not expect to receive specific directives from those who are now buried in our cemetery, but still, in a way, we do communicate with those who have gone on before us. Maybe those who have left us in death can't hear us. Maybe they can. We don't know for sure. But we do believe that we can hear them, that in a way, they live on in us. And after all, today we are celebrating All Saints' Day, that time of year when we think about all of the saints. All those who have lived this faith and walked the way of discipleship before us, and who now rest from their labors. Yet not only on this Sunday, but on almost every Sunday, we communicate with those who have passed on by reading their stories. What did we just do before this sermon? We opened the scriptures and read from a testimony of those who have been dead for many centuries. We engaged in a rather amazing act. We acted as if these ancient people with names like Lazarus and Mary and John and Martha have something important to say to us. We believed that they have something to teach us that we could not learn in any other way. Listening to them, looking to them for guidance, is not a typical American thing. We Americans were innovators and lovers of the new and improved model. We begin each day logging in and listening to the latest news, lurching from here to there as we breathlessly follow the latest thing. Typically, I mean, some of us are not that great at history. Maybe fell asleep in our high school history classes. Sorry, Ron. Sorry, Dwayne. This is Wayne's sermon, you know. No, typically, you know, history is something that's hard for many of us. Those dates are hard to retain, those facts about people who lived hundreds of years ago, and sometimes we might wonder what on earth the past has to do with today and where we're headed. But actually, the past has a lot to teach us. And Christianity is a faith of tradition and history, and among the disciplines of discipleship is a willingness to listen to the saints from of old, to give them a privileged place in our conversations, to read their texts as our texts, and to let them continue to speak to us, even though they've been gone for this earth for a very, very long time. And as I thought about All Saints' Day this week, I thought about the fact that Oscar Romero was just made a saint. And some of you might not know who Oscar Romero is. Does anybody know who Oscar Romero is? Okay. Who was Oscar Romero? Archbishop of El Salvador. And he just got made a saint by the Catholic Church. What was so remarkable about Oscar Romero? He was a martyr. He was a modern day martyr. He was killed in the 1980s. And why was he martyred? Does anybody know?
He objected to the oppression that he saw in his country.
He objected to the oppression he saw in his country, and he was actually killed while performing Mass with his congregation. Another violent act of people coming in to a sacred space and committing violence and taking lives. And many people commented, Oscar Romero, this person who stood up for justice and was such an important person in the lives of so many people, it was a shame it took so long to recognize him as a saint. And he is not the only saint like that, not the only person who stood up for justice. I think, too, of the many children of God who were killed a little over a week ago in the synagogue in Pittsburgh, and that violence that is still shaking many of us to our cores, and the people who are standing up against that hatred and injustice that is being done to the Jewish people. I think of Martin Luther King Jr., who many may not think of as a saint, but I think he was both a saint and a martyr. Someone who fought for justice in this country. Someone whose legacy lives on in a way that it might not have lived on had he survived. We don't know. We don't know what would have happened, but his death shook this country and it changed the world. His actions inspired others to keep fighting for what was right, to keep fighting for justice. And when I think of the things we learn from past history and we learn from the Christians and martyrs and many people of many faiths who walked before us, these are some of the things that we learn. And this is why it is important to look back and remember so we don't forget. In our world, it feels like we come face to face with death on a regular basis in the news, in other ways, in personal ways, when loved ones pass on. And in today's gospel, we read a story about a family who also looked death in the face. Mary and Martha sent for Lazarus, for Jesus to come, because their brother Lazarus was dying. And Jesus didn't make it in time. By the time Jesus got there, Lazarus was gone. And so Mary and Martha were grieved and upset, wondering why Jesus couldn't get there sooner. Come on, Jesus. We know you could have healed him if you would have been here. Maybe sometimes we feel like that too. We see these tragedies and we think, wow, come on, Jesus. Why didn't you help us fix this sooner? And Jesus does show up for Mary and Martha, but Lazarus is in the tomb. And when he sees the grief of Mary and Martha and he sees the loss of his friend, he is so grieved that he just begins weeping. I love this beautiful image of Jesus weeping with Mary and Martha. He doesn't just show up and say, oh, it's not a big deal, I'm going to fix this, and minimize the grief that they're feeling. No, Jesus feels it with them. He's in it. He's there. And in the same way, Jesus feels our grief over every loss, over every act of violence, and Jesus weeps with us. But now we also know this story that we heard this morning of these saints from long ago. This story has a happy ending. Jesus goes out to the cemetery, to this place of death, and in a loud voice, he brings life. He commands the raising of Lazarus. And Lazarus emerges from the tomb. Everyone thought that death would win, but life wins out in the end. In our world, sometimes we can get overwhelmed. It feels like death is winning. But Jesus tells us a different story. Even when people move on from us, even in the midst of tragedy, Jesus is there with us, working to bring hope, working to bring life, and promising that in the end, life and resurrection are the final word. Today, we think of those who have gone on before us, those who inspired us with their lives. And if we had the time, I'm sure we could go around this congregation and quite easily share stories of ordinary saints who went before us, who loved us, who showed us the way, who came to us in our grief and in our sorrow, and loved us and brought the light of Christ into our lives. We could talk about the many ways that it is the great cloud of witnesses of saints who has brought us here together today. They were far from perfect, every one of them, but to be a saint does not require perfection, at least not for Mennonites. Being a saint is not about what we do or have done. It's about what Christ has done for us, freeing us from the bondage of evil, of violence, and self-absorption. So, you're a saint. You're a saint. You all are saints. We all are living saints together. And we gather on Sunday morning and we open up the Bible that might seem so irrelevant to so many, so old, so ancient. We read these stories that people have been telling for thousands of years in cultures that were vastly different than our own, and somehow we find something relevant in those pages. In the same way, we sing songs that usually none of us or even anyone we know created, some of them newer, some of them hundreds of years old, some written and arranged by yet living saints. And these are all gifts that we receive, the gifts of stories of faith, the gifts of songs that touch our hearts. And we often don't take the time to recognize them. We often think about the need for Christians to be givers, especially as Mennonites, with our love of service and peacemaking and justice work. But on this Sunday, as we remember those who went on before us, let us remember, too, that we need to be receivers. We are to be the sort of people who are willing to listen and receive what the saints have to teach us, and to have our lives touched by their example and their shortcomings, forgiven by God and by us. The saints, those blessed and dead who have gone before us, have graciously modeled the way of Jesus in their humanity and Christ-likeness. And that is, too, what we strive to do together as the body of Christ in the world today. So let us go today throughout the rest of our weeks remembering those saints, those people who believed in us when we didn't believe in ourselves, our friends, teachers, mothers, grandmothers, those who loved us in ways that we couldn't understand fully. And let us also think of those distant saints, the Oscar Romeros, the Martin Luther King Juniors, the Elizabeth Dirks, and Menno Simons of the world, and their impact on not just our lives, but on the whole world and the kingdom of God. Amen.